We continue on this afternoon here in John chapter 3, John chapter 3, verse number 34. Brother John the Baptist is here, and he's been questioned about the ministry of Jesus and how folks are going over to be baptized of him. And we know that Jesus didn't baptize anyone himself, but his disciples baptized. We see that in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of John. It tells about this one that he's pointed out to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And in verse number 34, he makes this statement, "For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God." And then the Lord Jesus Christ, he is God, but indeed he has been sent by God. He is the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one. He is the one that is appointed to be the Savior. And that's, he's signed, sealed, and delivered by God Almighty, if you will, for the salvation of his people. He says here, the one that's been sent speaketh the words of God. And how is that? Well, he's got the Spirit, not by measure, but in total. He has all of the Spirit of God. Being a man, becoming a man, yet being God, he has all the Spirit of God. And we pointed out and looked to the scriptures about how it was that over the course of 30 years from being carried by his mother and being delivered, a baby, a toddler, a young boy, a young man, a man, our Lord Jesus Christ, he lived, he was penned up for 30 years and then begins his ministry by the power and the Spirit of God that is upon him. We looked in Luke chapter 4 in regards to the Lord's ministry, where he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's reading out of Isaiah chapter 61. It was just lucky he got that scroll, huh? You know, I mean, that's the power of the Lord. I mean, the power of the Lord was upon that minister there in the synagogue to bring that scroll. Because it says there, as we read, that the Lord, He rolled over to the place. He went to the place where Isaiah 61 was. And understand, if we understand it right, you couldn't get all of the book of Isaiah on one scroll. Okay? And he was at what we call chapter 61. And he rolled all the way over to that in that scroll that he was given, so a portion of it. And he read this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." It's come time. The Savior is here. The Savior is at hand. The sixfold ministry that was given to the Lord, and this of preaching and healing and delivering and recovering and to set at liberty the bruised and so on, to preach the Word of God. The Word is at hand to preach the Word of God. And that is how sinners are saved, how sinners are helped. We saw in Isaiah chapter 11, and I invite you to turn over there to that. Let's pick up here in Isaiah 11 in this thought at the beginning of what the Lord says and rehearses out of Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In Isaiah 11, we see here that Isaiah prophesies in the day of his ministry. In verse number 1 of Isaiah 11, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse," and that's and he did so through David, and did through so through Nathan, David's son, the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the lineage of Mary, a promise going all the way back to the garden after sin, that of the seed of the woman there would be one that would rise up and defeat the works of Satan and deal with sin. "Out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots," the branch, and another name of the Lord. He's the branch that matters, all right? As the Lord, what it speaks to us in John chapter 10 about he is the vine and we're the branches. I tell you what, that's comforting. We grow in our Lord. We rest in our Lord. We are nourished from our Lord. He says here, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And I believe that these are individual ones, and I think we're going to see that as we go through the message here this afternoon. He tells about how he's going to make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. You know, Jesus didn't come. He was no freelancer. He's an example to us. There's no freelancers. Brother Mark talked about the freelancers last week and this week. We're not to be freelancers. It's not our church. It's not our word. It's not our ministry. It's the Lord's. We've been made part of it, and the Lord is that example. He did what the Father sent him to do by the power of the Spirit. Listen to this, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. He's not going to do so according to what this world says and what's going on here. He's going to do so, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, and he shall and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and the righteousness and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Let's read on. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Verse 7. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters that cover the sea. Verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, an insignia, a flag, a signal, a token, an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, praise God, and his rest shall be glorious. It's going to be done by the Spirit of God, by the power of God, by the Savior, by the Son of God, who has become a man. In this, we know, have you ever seen a wolf dwell peaceably with a lamb? Have you seen any mama that would be willing for their child that is not nursed yet to go out and play on a snake den? Hadn't happened yet, has it? It's going to happen. It's going to happen by the power of our Lord, the God-man ruling and reigning over this earth. And so that expectation that we have of the millennial reign. We want to fast forward, if you will. Well, not really fast forward, but in the sense that Brother John, the apostle, got it. John, the revelator, got it. From this time where Jesus was on the earth, and this time of him being born and being conceived and born and then growing up, and how he waxed strong in the spirit, and then the ministry that he filled, and after the temptation and the ministry, and then the gospel that he fulfilled. You know, it just keeps getting more intense and ratcheting up more and more till he's raised from the dead. He's raised from the dead. He's got that physical body. He appears there with his church. But with his church, while they're in the upper room, the door's being closed, he's there. They think they're seeing, as we would say, a ghost. They're not seeing a ghost, are they? He says, you got anything to eat? He eats fish, eats some honeycomb right there in front of him. He says, come up here and touch my hands. Thomas, that's the next week, right? Put your fingers in my hands and go ahead and take your hand and put it in my side and be not faithless, but believing. He's a man, but he's God. And he's got all the spirit of the Lord, doesn't he? John sees later on in his life. Let's turn over here to the book of the Revelation. In chapter 1 of the book of the Revelation, John sees our Lord. And he, like our brethren in the Old Testament, is shown some of the throne room of God, if you will, and is able to see the Lord and his glory and his power. This same one that John walked with for 3 years, that he saw crucified and that he saw buried, that he saw raised from the dead, that he saw ascend up into heaven. He sees where the Lord is for this time. And let's see some of the things here that John saw as Jesus revealed, Revelation, the book of the Revelation, as Jesus revealed about himself more. That's what's going on there. Jesus is revealing about himself, his work, what the plan is, the way things really are. That's what's going on in the book of the Revelation. Who wouldn't want to read that? And understand it, the reading of the book of Revelation, there's a blessing that's here just to read the book of the Revelation. Not to understand it, but just to read it and put those things in place. And you know what? When we have the Word of God in us, it makes it where there's something there for the Lord to use. And you know what? When he wants us to understand things, put things together, he'll do that for us. He will. But we've got to have it in us first. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit of God in the man Jesus Christ. Let's look at this. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, modern day Turkey. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. How you like that for a title? Amen. He's always been. And this letter, this revelation is coming from him. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Let's read that again. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Brother Jim, I thought God was one. Yeah, he is. I thought God has three persons. He does. I thought that it tells us in Ephesians there's one spirit. There is. I thought you just read there that the seven spirits of God are at hand at the throne of the Lord. They are. Amen. It's all true. And none of it contradicts itself. Well, see, what it is here is you and I are here in this finite ability in life, trying to grapple, and that's a wonderful word, to understand our infinite God. And there before the throne of God are the seven spirits. I think that we've seen about six of those as we read over in Isaiah chapter 11. Let's read on. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. He's leading us, isn't he? We'll be raised from the dead. We have been saved and in that sense taken from the dead into life everlasting. But we, if we die and we go by the grave, he will raise us. Or if he comes at the rapture, we will be changed. But he was first. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. He's over all of them. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Isn't that interesting? Unto God and his Father. Because Jesus is God, yet he is a person of the Godhead. Hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we see here that this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, now has the seven spirits of God before his throne. We look here in chapter 3 of the book of the Revelation. Let's look here in chapter 3 in verse number 1 as our Lord writes by John to the church in Sardis, one of these churches, one of these towns, and there was a church there in Asia Minor. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. He's got them. What John said was true. God did not give the God-man the spirit by measure. He's got them all. All of the Spirit, all of the Holy Spirit of God, he has them. And the thing is here, the Holy Spirit of God has his work, has the thing that he does. But Jesus indeed has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, which are talking about the leadership, the pastors of those churches or their angels. There are a couple different thoughts about that. But the Lord has, I desire to be in the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ while I pastor Olmsted Baptist Church. It'll be a mess if I'm not. And you need to pray that for me, that I would be in the hand of the Lord. We would be in the hand of the Lord together, his church, and the ministering spirits that watch over us and care for us. Right? There's that sense of the angels that are the ministering spirits of God. The things of the affairs of the church, indeed, and of salvation, the angels, they like to look into that, don't they? And they're used by the Lord to minister to us, to watch care over us, and to bring that communication between us and the Lord. It's a thing that we don't see. We can just trust and rest in the Lord in it. But it is so. We have hints of that. He says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. And we come over here to chapter 4. Of the book of the Revelation. This is what Jesus says. We come here to chapter number 4. Let's back up here to verse number 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, John says, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. This is kind of like what Brother Ezekiel saw, wasn't it? And round about the throne there were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. So the 24 elders there around the throne. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Oh, what a fearful place. What a magnificent place. In the wording of the scripture, what a terrible place, but what a wonderful place. The throne preceded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Who is it sitting on the throne? It's our Lord Jesus. It's our Lord Jesus. It's our God, our Father, our Savior, our Redeemer. He's sitting there, and he has the seven spirits of God before him. In chapter 5, over and over again, we have this. We're told more. Again, this is the revelation. This is a revelation of the Lord to John and to you and me. We're being told more than we've ever been told before. See, because now, in the wisdom and the power of God, now it's come to a time. John's been brought to Patmos. Satan is probably rejoicing in that this man of God has been shut down. And what's the Lord do? He uses it to give him the revelation of himself even more, to glorify himself even more. And now the saints are in a shape to where we can receive it. We can see, we can hear it. We can hear these more things that we're being told about the Lord. In chapter 5, we come here, and let's read from verse number 1. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. There's this book. There's this book that is in the right hand of the one that's sitting on the throne. And no one can open it, and no one can look upon it. What's John say? And I wept much, verse 4, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. John was sorrowful that this was the case. There's a book held by the right hand of the one on the throne, and no one is even worthy, is found worthy to look upon it, much less open it. He weeps, and one of the elders saith unto me, verse 5, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Don't you love that? Man, I love those words. I tell you what, I mean, that tells about the ability of the Lord Jesus. That tells about his power and his strength. That tells about the promise of the Lord to bring him, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the one. He's the one that is able. He said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Remember we read that? Hath prevailed to open the book. He's done it. He's done it, and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, what can you do with that? Enjoy it. Amen. Just enjoy it. That lamb slain, we know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. As a lamb slain doesn't look too powerful, but I tell you what, he is powerful. He willingly entered into death and defeated death, hell, and the grave for his people. He did so willingly. And by the power and the Spirit of God, when he was in that grave for the time appointed, he took back his life again and lives forevermore. I tell you what, he's God, the Spirit of God. He is filled and with the Spirit of God. Here we see in this picture, he's got this lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So we saw in Isaiah about 6 that he would be filled with those. But here at this time, after the day of the Lord's ministry and after the time of his resurrection and he, his ascension back into heaven, what do we see? Now, he would be filled and it was upon him. He had a sixfold ministry. He had these 6 spirits of God that were promised to be upon him. But now we see the 7 spirits of God before the throne. We see him represented by this lamb slain with 7 horns and 7 eyes. Where's that 7th? Where is that 7th? Well, I think it's plain. I think it's plain, and we see it here. Oh, what a wondrous Savior. He is full of wisdom. He is full of knowledge and prudence and understanding. He's able to deal with every little thing. We go back to the first church, and, you know, they've enjoyed having the Lord Jesus with him. And at talk of the Lord Jesus saying, I'm going away, well, they get sad right away. I mean, having the Lord Jesus Christ with you, who wouldn't get sad? Well, only the saved get sad. The undone were glad to see him go, weren't they? But with the disciples, when the Lord Jesus Christ talks about going away, talks about being taken from them, they get down. They get down bad. So much so that our brother Peter rebukes the Lord at times and said, no, this isn't going to happen to you. That's early on in the ministry. Earlier on in the ministry about him dying and giving his life and being rejected, far be it from you, Lord. The Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. You're not savoring the things of God. You're savoring the things of men. So we come all the way up here and the Lord keeps telling them. They don't get it. He keeps telling them what's going to happen. He's going to be rejected of the elders. He's going to be given over to the hand of the Gentiles. He's going to be crucified. 3rd day, he's going to rise again. Our brother read it this morning. They heard the first part and they got all jumbled up in the mind and running in circles and screaming and shouting. They didn't hear the last part. Going to raise from the dead. Going to raise from the dead. And you know what? In that, the specter of that future thing that their Savior, their Redeemer, their Rabbi, their Master is going to be taken away from them, Jesus prepares another to be in his place. In John chapter 14, we pick it up here in verse number 15, John 14:15, the Lord here with his disciples in the upper room, And he says to them, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And again, not a memory, but a comforter. A person, just like the Lord Jesus Christ is a person. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Listen to this. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So we have here, I believe, this seventh Spirit of God, or the seventh working of the Spirit of God. However you want to say it, I have no quarrel with either one. Is there's a provision for the Lord's church. Jesus has been with them for 3 years. He's been calling them. He had his directive. They've been baptizing those that believe and have come confessing Christ and wanting to be a part, have been trooping along with the Lord there during the time of his ministry. And remember, there were 70 that were sent out. There were 70 that were sent out during the day of the Lord's ministry. And he's saying, I'm going to be taken from you. I'm going to leave. But I've made it to where there's going to be another come in my stead. This is going to be something. What's the context? He's speaking to his church. And he said, there's going to be a work of the Spirit in the church in my stead. Notice how the Lord says here, you already know him. Isn't that what he says? But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you. Already know him. But in the church, you're going to know him and what he's going to do here in my stead. That's a promise that I see that's only to the Lord's churches. There is that Holy Spirit work of the Comforter. That's the way I see it. That's the way I understand. I see this, and it's promised to the Lord's people in his church. Because see, we've got a commission to fulfill. We've got things that we're going to run into that we're going to need understanding about. We're going to need reminded of the scriptures and how they pertain to a certain circumstance. Brother Mark has been bringing out his Sunday school lesson. It is the Bible that we have as our only rule of faith and practice. But we do come up on things that just aren't necessarily spelled just right out in the Bible. And we need to take what the scripture says with the leadership of the Lord and the Comforter to show us what to do in particular in the things that we face. And so here we have this, oh, what a blessing how our Lord does provide and provide for us in this. Listen to what he says here. In verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so he's going to be taken away. He's going to come back. And then he's going to provide the Comforter to them. Verse number 26. Or verse number 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I'm telling you what lies ahead before it comes about. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Okay, so he's the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Do you still believe that? He teaches us now. You know, I am your pastor, and I'm to preach the Word of God to you and to teach the Word of God to you. We have brethren in the church that take care of our adult Sunday school class and fill in services at times. We have some of the ladies that work to teach the children and such as that. And we pray that the Lord will work in each and every one to teach the things that are according to the Word of God. Well, see, if we undertake to do this physically in our own flesh and our own ability, we'll surely go off like many others have gone off. But you know what? If our Lord's in the middle of it, if the Holy Spirit of God is in the middle of it, we will be helped, we will be taught, we will be fed, we will be blessed. And that's what we need. That's what he says. He says, The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And I don't see this being generally given to the family of God. It's church context, upper room. Not everybody is in the upper room. And bring all things to your remembrance. We need reminded of some things. Tell you what, nothing better than when we're facing a situation and the Lord blesses and reminds us, reminds the brethren, reminds you about passages that apply to the situation at hand. Nothing better than that. Because we need the Word of God to move on. That's the example we see in the book of Acts, isn't it? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And so what a blessing that is. The Lord has provided. He's provided the Comforter to be with us in his stead, to teach us and remind us and to help us in the things that we need. Straight from our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the Comforter going to do? What's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter going to do? Is he going to give us new things, new revelation? No, he's going to tell what Jesus has said. See that? That good book, that wonderful work of God, that's why he's going to remind us about that. He's going to teach us that word. He's going to remind us what Jesus said. He's going to teach us what Jesus said. And praise be to God for his wonderful, wonderful word. We come over to chapter 15. This is at the end of chapter 14. They have gone from the upper room, heading toward Gethsemane. Our Lord is there dealing with the disciples there, that leadership in the church. And we come down here in verse number 26. And the Lord has been talking to them about he being hated without a cause. Okay, it's written in the scripture, another thing fulfilled. There was no reason for the Lord to be hated by the leadership of the Jews, but he was, because he threatened them and what they had pursued rather than they pursuing what God had said. Verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. So we see here that Jesus is at the directive. He's directing that this will happen. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, a work of the Comforter in the church, is going to testify about Christ. And he says, you know what? That'll empower you and help you to go out and do the same. You'll be a witness of me to this lost and dying world. Chapter 16, the Lord Jesus yet continuing on with instructing his disciples. Let's read from verse number 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. I'm telling you in advance. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Boy, there's a recruitment pitch, isn't there? But the Lord tells the truth. And you know what? Even in the midst of the truth, as ugly and hard as it would be on the flesh, he says, this is what I've ordained it to be. This is the way that it's going to be, but I will help you to do it. We saw that Wednesday night, didn't we? There with Brother Peter. We are called to suffer like Christ suffered. That's the calling. That's the calling, is that there's going to be suffering. But you know what? It'll be a glory unto God when we look to him in it. He says, these things will they do unto you, verse 3, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. I'm telling you in advance, and so you'll remember then. And these things I said not unto you that at the beginning, because I was with you. There was no need for me to tell you at the beginning, because I was with you. He was there protecting. You know, that's what the Comforter is doing. But now I go my way to him that sent me, verse 5, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. But see, rather than saying, he said, I'm going away from you, rather than them saying, oh, don't go away. We should rather be saying, they should rather be saying, oh, where are you going? But he says, I'm going away. I said, oh, we don't want you to go. Don't go. But it's necessary that he go. But now I go my way to him that sent me, verse 5, and none of you ask of me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's filled with all the Spirit of God. And he works and directs for our benefit, for the purpose and plan and work of God. He tells here about what the Spirit will do, which is a message for another time. Verse number 13, let's read here. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of the truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Lord can guide us into all truth. We need to be talking to him about life, that he would do so. Amen? We've got the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in here. John said it, no man can receive anything except to be given to him from heaven. And you know what? It's been given to us to be saved. It's been given to us to be called to the Lord's church. And we need to know that, believe that, trust in that, and see the preparation and the facility by which the Lord has made that we can continue on in him by his power to do his work till Jesus Christ comes. Tell you what, we need to rejoice in it and praise his name in it. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And in a sense, the Spirit of God is a relayer. Not his own thing, but that which God says. He is God, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Christ, 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 Christ. He's talking about before services, how it is our natural tendency. We see it in false religions and that where there's years ago, some of you may remember the Jesus only crowd. You know, just Jesus. We're not Jesus only. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Lord's told us to. And when we understand as best as we can and what we look to the Scriptures, the Father sent the Son and the Son willingly came and the Spirit of God moves in all that God has purposed and planned and works to do. We rejoice in them all. We worship God and we praise God for the three persons of the Godhead and the greatness of the Godhead as he explains himself to us, explains himself and shows himself unto us. And we're thankful for that and we rejoice in all that. All of them have their place. It's not just about the Holy Spirit, and we got to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. You know what some mean by that? They're going to roll around, thrash around. Matthew ran after prayer class. He ran down here. He was kind of running, and he was doing something, and he was saying amen or hallelujah or whatever it was. He was saying amen, amen. So we don't do that here. He looked at me. He said, "What?" But you know, it's not about that. We worship and conduct ourselves in decency and in order. That's what our Lord has given us to do. It's not about this emotionalism for the sake of emotionalism, trying to conjure up something from God. But everyone has their place. And here the Lord Jesus tells us that Jesus is going to be glorified. And the Spirit will receive of the Lord and will show it to us. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Listen to that. The Spirit of God is in that sense a relayer between our Lord and Savior and us. He takes of the Lord Jesus who sits upon the throne and he delivers it and brings it and works in us. A little while, verse 16, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, speaking of his death and burial and his resurrection, because I go to the Father. He will raise from the dead and will ascend into the Father. So here we see this about that seventh spirit, an office, a purpose of this Holy Spirit of God reserved for even the day of the Lord's church, the church age, that institution of the church, the individual churches. And then I just want to point out something, and I know you've bore along with me, but I just want to point out this, okay? I want us to see this, just as a related aside. In Ephesians chapter 3, aren't you glad I didn't preach all this morning? Listen to this, just quickly. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Did we hear that right? Jesus is the creator. That's what I heard, okay? Okay, let's go over to Colossians. The church of Colossae, our brother writes in chapter 1. Verse number 15, let's pick it up here. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, speaking of the Father, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the blood of the Son, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. You want to see the Lord? You want to see God Almighty? You see him in Jesus. Okay, that's the way God's ordained it. Doesn't take anything away from the Father. Doesn't take anything away from the Holy Spirit. That's the Lord's design. And he became a man, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, this firstborn, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. He is preeminent in every way. And by him, all things consist. It's all held together. We're staying in orbit, and we're going to stay in orbit. We don't have to worry about getting hit by a meteor. All that mess that our government pursues, oh, they're worried about everything. You know, we can rest and trust in our Lord. We're going to be here as long as he wants us to be here. We don't have to worry about aliens. We don't have to worry about anything other than looking to our Lord and glorifying him. All that junk's just a bunch of distraction. So again, do you hear there? I hear that Jesus created all things, whether we can see it or not. Amen? Well, let's go back. This is just, I find this interesting. Let's go back to the beginning. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Jesus created all things, and the Spirit of God was there at the beginning, creating and working. Saying the same thing. Jesus created it all. The Holy Spirit of God in the man, Jesus Christ. As we mentioned this morning, the Lord God Almighty has not given the Spirit to our Savior by measure, but he has all the Spirit of God. And yet it is Christ in us, as we see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in us, our hope of glory. He is our all in all, indeed, as we've read. And again, with all this, and the message that we preached last week, the Holy Spirit of God, truly the strong man, Jesus said, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is coming to you. Remember, the problem was, as they said, he had an unclean spirit. He doesn't have an unclean spirit. He has the Holy Spirit of God. Why would anyone want to go forward? Why would you want to go forward another minute without the Spirit of the Lord abiding in you? We who are saved, that's who we have living in us. The Spirit, he is life indeed in us. God is living within us. The Holy Spirit of God, Christ, is living within us. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He's the Savior. And he has the Spirit of God. And it's by the power and the Spirit of God that he saves. You know what you're commanded as we sang and as the scripture declares, as the Lord dealt with Nicodemus, look and live. Look to him. Look to him. Without him, you will not live. But look to him. You can live through Christ. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in him.